John chapter 6. Now, still on the doctrine of election. And we have come now, I've been on it for the past two or three Sundays. Election's grand original. And let me just say again that those who despise the truth of God the Father's eternal election despise Jesus Christ. Now, they can say what they want. You know, they can say what they wish. They can use whatever words they wish to excuse themselves. But Jesus Christ is the elect one.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God's elect. And we're chosen in Him. So those who despise God's eternal election despise Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, our Lord told us not to wonder at this. He said that the world hated me.
Yes.
And because I chose you out of the world, they're going to hate you as well.
Yes, sir.
The cry against us is, well, you must think you're something for God to choose you. The truth is, I am nothing. I don't deserve to be chosen of God. I deserve God's wrath and God's judgment. I deserve to go to hell 10,000 times.
Yes, sir.
That's it. God Almighty chose a people because He was pleased to choose a people.
Amen.
God willed to choose a people. And I've heard, I have probably done it myself, but I've heard men who even espouse this doctrine yet try to excuse God. But there is one thing true about every coin. Every coin. There's one thing true about every coin on the face of this earth. No matter what country it is, no matter what denomination of coin it is, no matter how large it is or how small it is, do you know what the one common thing among all coins is? What is it? It has two sides. God Almighty chose the people. He chose to call a people unto Himself. He chose to call a people unto communion and fellowship with Himself. And God also chose, He purposed, that's the better word, God also purposed to damn a people.
That's it. Amen.
Some people are created to be damned.
Yep. Amen.
God Almighty is the potter over the clay.
That's it.
Now here's what it says. And I'm not turning there, but in Romans chapter 9, God of the same lump.
Yes.
Now you know what I've said before? I've said that lump is a fallen lump. But it says God is the potter, and of the same lump He makes one unto honor, and what? One unto dishonor. So if the lump is a fallen lump, He wouldn't have to make it to dishonor. It would already be dishonorable.
Exactly.
Right? But that's not what that says, is it?
That's right.
He says He takes of the same lump. That's the mass of humanity that He had purposed to create before they had fallen. And He purposes to show some mercy, and He purposes to show others wrath.
Amen.
Now that's what it says, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, it's quite particular when God said, when He chose Jacob, or actually when He informed Jacob and Esau's mother, that Jacob I loved, Esau have I hated. It says it was before the children were either born, or what else? Before they'd even done any good or evil.
Amen.
You see, when it comes to the election, God Almighty is absolutely sovereign.
Yes, sir.
He does with His own what He will.
That's it.
And God will either save me or He will damn me. At His good pleasure.
Yes, sir.
And He will be glorified in either one.
That's it.
Now remember, we've come this far concerning the election's grand original. That is the eternal God. In the person of the Son, purposed for Himself a creature existence. To perform creature acts, that's deeds. And to delight in creature fellowship.
Yes.
As the God-man. Now I want to state something clearly because I left it. I don't think I stated it wrongly, but I left it. I left the door far too open. Remember that our Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a servant.
Yes.
He came in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Yes.
Now he did not have sinful flesh, but he had the very likeness of sinful flesh.
Exactly.
And our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, God the eternal Son, and we'll talk about that a little later, but God the eternal Son took upon himself a human nature. And in that human nature, he could feel pain, he could suffer, he could be saddened, he could be thirsty, he could be hungry, he could sweat. He needed to eat, did he not? He needed to eat. Think of the eternal God, Almighty, purposed to take upon himself that existence. But what I left open was the possibility that he had that existence forever. He is a man forever. Okay?
Amen.
But his humanity is even changed now. Because he is not as he was in his condescension.
That's right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? He is different now. His body was, Mason, glorified.
Yeah.
But it's still a human body.
Yes, sir.
God the eternal Son has confined himself to a human body forever. And why was that? You remember what most people said? That was for us. That's a big ego, ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
That the eternal God confined himself to a human body everlastingly for me? Right. Right. Think of it. Christ was predestinated for much more than the salvation of his people. Now, he was predestinated for that. But I gave you these, and I'll just mention them without saying a whole lot more about them. One, Christ was chosen for God to delight in far above the rest of all of humanity or the angelic creation. We seen that last week. Secondly, Christ was chosen that God might behold the image of himself in all of his perfections in a creature. And thirdly, Christ was chosen that the fullness of the Godhead might dwell bodily. And it does.
Amen.
All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily. You see, God Almighty took upon himself creature existence for his own pleasure and glory.
Yes, sir.
That's why. The man Christ Jesus was chosen as the man, because the man was chosen. Christ's humanity was created by God, the Holy Spirit, in the womb of the Virgin Mary.
Yes, sir.
His human nature was created, but it was joined, remember, in one person.
Yes.
So the man Christ Jesus was chosen unto the highest union and communion with God himself. And Joe mentioned it. He is the only one that God has ever directly said of, this is my beloved Son. But what does he say? In whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
The truth is, God is not pleased with me.
Exactly.
And God's not pleased with you either.
That's right.
Our only hope of finding the pleasure of God is that we are in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
God delights in him alone. And if we're not in him, we'll perish.
Yes, sir.
We'll perish. Think about it. Most people, that, including myself, because I still have the flesh. And the flesh is far more real to me today than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And the flesh is far more real to me now that God has converted me than it ever was before I was converted. So it's even in me. But this idea that all that God has done, God done simply for us. No, God did it for his own glory. The only reason God saved even one person, let alone a great multitude of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, is for his own glory. But think about it. Men do just men and women, boys and girls, we do not understand apart from the life-giving grace of God. We do not understand how bad we really are. We don't know how. We still, even those of us who've been given life by God, we still don't know how bad we really are. Every now and then, God lets us get a glimpse of that once more, don't He?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. We think, well, you know, man fell, and man needs redemption. Think of this. Adam fell. Adam sinned against God.
Yes, sir.
In a good state.
Yeah.
Did he not?
Yes, sir.
I heard a preacher say this one time, never even thought about it. There was no whiskey to lead him astray. There was no extra women for him to fool around with.
That's right.
Get himself in trouble, was there?
No.
Huh? There wasn't no grocery stores for him to rob. Was there? And Adam still failed.
Exactly.
Right? And now, men try to claim there's some goodness in us. We're on this side of the fall. There's all kinds of deception and temptation. And anyone tries to convince themselves that in any way that they are looked upon by God as favorable. The prophet Isaiah said that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
The Old Testament, and then Paul reiterates it in the New by quoting the Old Testament, there is none good, no, not one. You see, that includes me today.
Amen.
That's not me before I was saved. That's me even after I'm saved.
Amen.
I am still not a good man.
Exactly.
There is none good. There is none righteous. That's when it says what? No, not one. They are together become unprofitable.
Yes.
Now think about that. If you put us all together, you think you could at least find something of profit there, right?
Yep.
And God says no.
Exactly.
They are together become unprofitable. Our mouth is said to be an open what? Grave.
Yes.
Right? Sepulcher. And let us remember that this is not the graves of our day that is common to us. Okay? These are the graves that are common to the day when, I think it was Mary or Martha, one or the other said, Lord, by now he what? He stinks.
He stinks.
They didn't take everything out, all the blood out, and then pump in something else, did they?
That's right.
All they could do at best was cover the body up.
Yep.
And you know what? Man has stunk since the fall.
Exactly.
Well, that's what God said about us in the beginning.
Yes, sir.
That our sin had come up as a what in God's nostrils?
Stench.
A stench.
Amen.
You know? That's odoriferous. You know? That's rotten.
Exactly.
That's nasty. That's what I am by nature. Nasty. Rotten. There is one thing a dead man can do. That's stink.
That's it.
And that's what we do.
Exactly.
And yet, God Almighty was pleased to join Himself to human flesh for the redemption of certain among such creatures as these.
Yes, sir.
To even think that I might be one, Ellen, is a blessing. Let alone to be given God's Spirit to know it. You see, God deserves to be worshipped and served even if we still had to go to hell. There are people today, well, if I could go to heaven, if I'll serve the Lord, if I go to heaven, He deserves to be served even if we still go to hell.
That's right.
See, we ought to worship Him, serve Him, obey Him. We ought to avoid evil. We ought to do what is right. And then in the end, say, Mason, I deserve to go to hell.
Yeah.
Is that what men say? No, they say, Lord, let us in. We did many wonderful works in Your name. We preached in Your name. We cast out devils in Your name. We did those many wonderful works. And you know what their trouble was? Not that they didn't do those things. Their trouble was God didn't know them.
Exactly.
Isn't that what He said?
Yes, sir.
He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen.
Somebody says, that sounds like, to me, it makes God responsible for salvation. Now you're finally getting somewhere.
Amen.
You're finally coming around.
That's it.
Or maybe the light had just dawned and then went right back out. It does that to some folks. You see, the Son of God gave subsistence and personality to His humanity. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. Christ's deity, and I think I mentioned this somewhat last week, but I want to go into it in a little more detail. Christ's deity and humanity are not merely one flesh, as the Scripture states, between a husband and a wife. Christ's deity and humanity are not merely one flesh, nor is deity and humanity one spirit. That is, as Christ in the church. But His deity and His humanity was joined in one person.
Yes.
He was not two people. There are men who preach, and I don't know that they mean to do it this way, but they preach as though at times Christ was, as Scripture said, had his face set like a flint toward Calvary. Right? Where He would say, for this cause came I into the world. Right? They say there's His deity. There's the Son of God speaking in absolute faith and confidence. And then they put Him in the garden. They talk about His humanity speaking now. Father, let this cup pass from me. Let me tell you, if He asked for it to pass from Him, it did.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
It did. The cup He was talking about passing from Him was the cup He was experiencing right then. Let this cup, not that cup.
Exactly.
Isn't that what He said?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we had a man one right here, stood right here behind this very desk right here one time and told us that that Jesus Christ in that garden was just like one of us. If somebody stuck a .357 in your face and pulled the hammer back, you would have drawn back too. He said, that's what Christ did when He's in that garden. No, He didn't draw back. No, He did not draw back.
Amen.
Oh no. That wasn't His humanity speaking. That's a man lying on Him.
Exactly.
His face was still set like a flint toward Calvary.
Yes, sir.
And if I get up and tell you something like that, you can say, Walter just lied on Christ. Because it's just not so. It said as soon as He prayed that, what happened? Angels came and ministered unto Him. Isn't that what it says? His prayer was answered. He asked for nothing outside of the sovereign will of God. His deity and humanity was one. He did not have a dual personality. He wasn't, I trust God now, but oh, what's going to happen now? That's more like us. That's the way we are at best.
Yeah.
At best, we're like that.
Exactly.
You know? At best, we're like that. Think about it. Because the deity and humanity of Jesus Christ was joined in one person, the creature nature was advanced to fellowship and even union with the eternal God. And that's what I mentioned last Sunday. To where it said that the blood of human nature, because remember, God is sin. In His essence, God is what? Spirit.
Yes, sir.
According to Christ's own words, spirit does not have flesh and bone. Right? But the flesh of Jesus Christ is said to be God's flesh. Right?
Yes, sir.
The blood of Jesus Christ is said to be none other than God's blood itself. Why? Because the eternal God, in essence, has flesh and blood? No. But being made a man, being made as the creature, His deity and humanity being joined in one person, the blood of Jesus Christ was none other than the blood of Almighty God.
Amen.
Christ being predestinated to be the God-man, and that's how Christ was predestinated. His deity wasn't predestinated. His deity is eternal. He is the eternal God. Christ being predestinated to be the God-man, His human nature had a covenant subsistence before God, before its actual existence. Because of this, He was called the Son of Man in heaven before he became the Son of Man on earth.
Yes.
In other words, he was the Son of Man eternally by covenant design before he was the Son of Man before men. Now there's a passage in Psalms. I told you to turn to John, but that's the one I want to show in a moment. But there's a passage in Psalms chapter 80. Just one verse, verse 17, it says this: "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand." Now, all throughout Scripture, the preponderant testimony of a right hand of God is none other than who?
Christ.
Right? He now even sits where? On the right hand, literally in his body, at the right hand of God the Father. So here it is, let thy right hand be upon the what? Not even the Son here, although that's true. But what does it say? The man of thy right hand upon, and then look, so there is no doubt as to this. The Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. Now folks, that's talking about Christ. And that's talking about Christ and his humanity, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Now I have to say, well, someone says, well, but Walter, that's talking about, that's a prophecy. It doesn't mean Christ had some subsistence as the Son of Man, as a man, as a God-man before he actually existed on the earth, because that's just a prophecy of what would be. And I'd have to say to that, granted, I cannot draw from Psalms more than what it says itself, okay? Unless I have something else to back it up, which is John chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
And I probably will get no further than this morning. I haven't even moved in these notes. Verse 61 of John 6. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured,
yeah,
and he murmured at it, that's what he had said, he said unto them, well, let me explain this better. Let me soften this a little. Let me use a little political correctness here. I apologize. I got out of hand. Now, we can get out of hand. Don't get me wrong. Okay? I'm not saying that we have the right, because Jesus Christ said certain things, that we have the right to say anything we want. We don't. But we always have the right and more the responsibility to tell the truth. Which we don't do. Like Tim James says, and if I'm honest, he said, and rarely I'm sure that I am. And in that, he was probably being honest. What did our Lord say when he knew in himself that they murmured at it? Does this offend you? Basically, now I'm ad-libbing it. He said, I've got something else to tell you.
Yeah.
If that bothers you, listen to this. What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before.
Amen.
All right, there it is. The Lord God Almighty in human flesh done said it. It's settled.
Yes, sir.
His deity gave eternal subsistence to his humanity, even in covenant design, at least, before his humanity ever actually literally existed. He speaks of himself as the Son of Man ascending back up to what? Where he was before. As what? Not the Son of God. Not as the I Am, but as even the Son of Man.
That's it.
Right?
Yes, sir.
The Son of Man. Now here's the thing. He told these disciples, and that's amazing because these were disciples, followers.
Yeah.
You've got to come to me, which you can't do. Right? Because
yes,
no man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him.
Amen.
But you've got, still yet, you've got to come to me. Yes. You've got to believe on me, which you don't do.
Exactly.
You've seen all these miracles and you still don't believe. I fed your belly. Over 5,000 of you at one time, I fed your belly.
Yes.
And you've seen the miracles and you've seen me and you still don't believe on me.
Exactly.
You've got to come to me. You've got to believe on me. You've got to eat my flesh. And you've got to drink my blood. Isn't that what he told them? That's what he says here.
Yeah.
In other words, you've got to consume me, partake of me. You and I have to become joined.
Yes, sir.
That's what happens when you eat something and drink it, don't you? You take it into your body.
That's it.
But here's the thing, you got to do all of that without me being here.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
And you can't. Right? You think what I've just said is hard? What if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits you nothing. Everything around you now that's physical is of no profit to you. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are. You're going to have to come to me, believe me, eat my flesh, drink my blood, simply based upon words. And when he said that, what happened?
Yeah.
They left.
Exactly.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
But wait a minute. They didn't leave right then. It wasn't until he again reiterated, you've got to do all this, and it's impossible.
Exactly.
Did he do that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you gotta come to me, believe on me. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, and I'm going to ascend up to where you can't even see me.
Yep.
I'm going back to where I was before. Right?
Yes, sir.
But look, but there are some of you that believe not.
Yes.
For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. And what does it say? From that. Notice what it says. We think about this as to time. Notice what's in italics there.
Yeah.
If you ever noticed, I've quoted that and never seen that until very lately. What does it say? It doesn't say from that time. That's wrong, folks.
That's right.
It says from that.
Yes.
From that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Take the time out. It had nothing to do with time.
No.
Time's there. It's inconsequential as time itself. It wasn't the time, it was what was said.
Amen.
From that, they said, well, if it's impossible, might as well tuck tail and run. And you know what I say? They're right.
Yes, sir.
You might as well.
Exactly.
Because only those that it's given to of the Father will come to him.
Amen.
You see, that's the whole point. From that, many of his disciples went back. You see, you can talk all about the deep things of God until you tell a man he's totally incapable of spiritual good, and then that's when they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's it.
They don't even mind to hear God sovereign as long as I let him be sovereign. Huh? It's like that stupid billboard they have near my house. Put up by the, I don't even remember the name of it. It's some place over near the other side of Peterstown. It actually says this. Right there in black and white. God is in control of your life. So what's that mean? And most of us, I guess everyone here has probably graduated from high school. If you haven't, you have a GED. And if you haven't, you've at least been alive long enough, you're halfway smart. If God's in control of your life, then how much control do you have?
Exactly.
Zero. God is in control of your life. But then the next phrase, right under it.
Oh, yeah.
And you are in control of whether that's true or not.
Exactly.
Now that is asinine.
That's exactly what it says.
That is stupid. Huh?
Yes,
and yet that is the doctrine of so-called Christianity today.
Yeah.
God can be as sovereign as he wants as long as we're in control.
Yeah.
Right? See, the truth of this word is, and I've said it, because it is prevalent to who God is. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased.
Amen.
If he's pleased to save me, bless my soul, I'll be saved.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'll like it.
Yes, sir.
You know? And if he's pleased to damn me, he'll damn me even if I don't like it. Huh? And there's a lot of folk, including myself at one time, I probably still think that to a certain degree, that think when people go to hell, all of a sudden they're going to get it. They still ain't going to really get it. The rich man died and lifted up his eyes where?
In hell.
In hell. Now, he got, he was in hell. But that's all he really got.
Yeah.
Because he said, send somebody back to tell my brothers.
Yeah.
If somebody comes back from the dead, they'll listen. He still didn't get it, did he? His brothers couldn't hear unless God give them an ear to hear.
Amen.
He still didn't get it, did he?
Yeah,
huh? There has been one that raised from the dead.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ. And they still don't believe him today.
Exactly.
They don't believe him today. No, here's the point. Now, yes, our Lord here is not talking. He's not talking about the eternal covenant transaction made with the Father. But he mentions it here. Just in, right? You see what I'm saying? He tells these people, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before.
Yes.
And the trouble is, you see, we cannot believe that apart from God's grace. You remember the passage, what is it, Romans 10, I think it is? You always hear people, you know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that's true. But you better know who you're calling on.
That's right.
You've got to know about him first. Right?
Yes,
says
sir.
You can't believe in somebody you ain't never heard of.
Yeah.
And most people's not heard of the God who was manifest in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. They've heard about some weak sissy. Who wants to save them, but they won't let him.
Yeah.
He said, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
He finds us and he saves us both. And he doesn't even ask us.
That's it.
And the scripture, Joe, is there something more in the scripture than just a type or that symbol? There's a lot of it there.
Yeah.
Look at what it says, Romans 10. That same one where everybody's quoting, whosoever called upon the name of the Lord. Look at what Paul though says about Isaiah, verse 20. But Isaiah, that is Isaiah, is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not.
Amen.
This is not a play on words, folks. This means what it says.
Yes, sir.
I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that didn't even ask after me.
Amen. That's it.
That's grace. That's God Almighty doing something for somebody when he wants to.
Amen.
That's a Saul of Tarsus. Who hates Jesus Christ with his whole being. But he was chosen by God the Father before the foundation of the world and given to the Son. The Son had died for him just a few months before.
Yeah, exactly.
He owned him not only by creation, but he owned him by blood.
Yes, sir.
And when the time of God's love came upon Saul of Tarsus, Jesus Christ manifest himself to Saul of Tarsus in his resplendent glory.
Yes, sir.
And you think Saul of Tarsus could have avoided that? He was trying to.
Exactly.
And he's trying to.
Yeah.
Our Lord said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Yeah.
And he's basically letting Saul of Tarsus know, what you went through, that ain't nothing. Look at here. Here I am.
That's right.
And you know what? That's what he does for every one of us. We may not see him literally and be literally blinded as Saul of Tarsus was, but we still, by God's grace, through his enablement, we see him.
Yes.
We come to him. We believe on him. We eat his flesh. We drink his blood. We consume him. We partake of him. Why? Because it was given to us of the Father.
Yes, sir.
That's why.
Amen.
No. Jesus Christ, and I'll say it, was the Son of Man eternally by covenant transaction before he became the Son of Man in actual flesh. Think about his deity, because his deity was full. He was fully God. His deity was veiled. There was no doubt many an instance in which he, and I don't have the right word because it's the proper words just fail me, but and Joe mentioned one of them. There were times when he held back the manifestation of his deity.
Yeah.
For instance, the time he could have called the angels down.
Yeah.
He said, I could have, and he could have had he wanted to.
Yes, sir.
Because he is fully God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
He did not relinquish not one jot or tittle of his deity. But it was just as that tabernacle of old, it was veiled under the flesh. You remember that tabernacle of old? Inside was gold.
Yes, sir.
And silver. Right? There was some silver, buckles and hangings on that thing. Well, those poles were wood overlaid in gold.
Yes, sir.
Magnificent blue and purple and red weavings, right? Inside that building, Mason, was resplendent glory, wasn't it?
Yep.
But if you went outside and looked at it, what did you see? Just another tent covered with badger skin.
That's right.
And that was it. But just to let us know that it ain't just another tent, there was a wall around that tent of pure white.
Yes, sir.
Huh? This humanity is distinct. This tent is distinct and separate from the other tents.
Yes, sir.
Is it not? Huh? His deity being full, the Son of Man openly manifest on the earth, yet retained the covenant presence in heaven. Well, he said that as well. Look at what he told Nicodemus. John 3. Verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which was in heaven. Is that what he said? No, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So he was still, by covenant transaction, present in glory in God's presence while he was present before Nicodemus, sitting there talking to one man on the face of this earth.
Yes, sir.
This man is different than all other men.
Yes.
Is he not?
Yes,
yes, sir. He's different than all other men. He was a man, but he wasn't just a man. That's the whole point. The point is, he was God manifest in the flesh. He wasn't just God who came down and took upon himself a human body. You see the difference?
Yeah.
He was God manifest in the flesh. So much so that when, was it Philip? Was it John? Was it John 15? I think it's Philip. One of them. Or no, not John. John 14. I'm sorry. Thomas. No, Philip. Verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough.
Yeah.
Right? And it sufficeth us. Now look at what it said. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me. And he's talking about literally seeing.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk about spiritually seeing here even. If you've seen me, you've seen who? You've seen the Father. And that's the only way the Father will be seen. Because the Father, God in essence, is what?
Spirit.
He is the invisible God.
Exactly.
All we see is that resplendent glory that is about Him. Remember Isaiah seeing? He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. But what did he see? Did he see the essence of God? No. Everything was filled with what? Smoke.
Yeah.
Well, he actually seen the Shekinah glory.
Yes.
Openly manifest. But look at what he says. Let me get back here to where I was at. Jesus saith unto him, I've been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? As the Apostle Paul said, it is something that I have no thing to illustrate it by.
Yeah.
I have nothing that I am aware of that I can illustrate this by. This was not God just came down and dwelt in a human body.
Yeah.
This is God Almighty being manifest in the flesh.
Yes.
So being joined to not just the body, but a human nature. That again, I have to say that the blood of human nature is called the very blood of God Almighty. And this is why we'll just turn back to it, and God willing, that's where I'll start next time. Proverbs chapter 8. And let me just read the main thrust of this chapter. Look at what it says. I was set up. I'm sorry. Verse 22 of Proverbs 8. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. I will pause briefly and just say, this is, in its truest sense, none other than the second person of the triune Godhead.
Yes, sir.
This is God the Son.
Yes, sir.
And he was God's delight daily. But then look at what he says of himself. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights was with us.
Yes, sir.
You see that? And my delights were with the sons of men. Right there, folks, is hope.
Amen.
Huh? Because God, apart from that covenant relationship through the Son, could never delight in us.
That's right.
Never. He could not. He knew what he would make us. Even though we hadn't been made that yet, before the world was, he knew what we would be, Mason. He knew what we would. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. And men say, well, but God looked down into eternity and or down into time, I should say. And he's seen who would believe and who would do this and who would do that. Show me that in the Bible.
Exactly.
Well, that's the point. Show me that in the Bible. Well, I do have a place where God did look down into time.
Yeah.
I've already mentioned it. He looked down into time. And it says God Almighty looked down upon the sons of men. And what did he see? None good, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. Their mouths are open sepulcher. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't seek after me.
Amen.
That's what God's seen of us.
Exactly.
All right, here we see the wisdom of God personified.
Yes, sir.
And the wisdom of God delighted in us, the sons of men. Now look, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, what do they find? They find life.
Amen.
And shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now here's the point. Some men love Christ. Some men hate Christ.
Amen.
The question I have to try to answer to myself is, which one am I?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Which one am I? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. But he that believeth on me shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Now the point is, he's not talking about just one point in time.
Sure.
Because at any given point in time, I'm an unbeliever.
Yeah.
There are times, far more times than I'd like to admit, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
That you follow me around and you look at me and you see what I do and what I say and how I conduct myself. And you know what you're going to say to me? He says he's a believer, but I wonder.
Yeah.
Huh? You remember that one guy? He was honest enough to be able to admit it, wasn't he? Lord, I believe. But what else? Help thou my unbelief. See, when our Lord said that, right, he that believeth on me, he has everlasting life. He that believeth not on me shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. He's talking about unbelievers. There are people in this world as Christ. He knew who they were that believed not. He knows his sheep.
Yes.
Let me say something. The sheep of God were never under and shall never be under the wrath of God.
That's right.
Never. It says we are the children of wrath even as others. Whose wrath? Not God's wrath. Our wrath.
Yeah.
He's talking about our nature. Our nature is a nature of wrath.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what it's talking about. And you know what God says, though, about even that? That God shall even cause the wrath of man to praise him.
Yeah,
you see, God is going to be discredited in nothing.
Exactly.
When all this thing's wound up, somebody said, well, there's going to be some glory to God, and over here going to be dishonor to God. No, God's going to be glorified in everything. The last soul that is cast into the lake of fire. And there'll be a last one, evidently, right? Well, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's what it says, right?
Yes, sir.
Will resound unto the glory of God.
Amen.
And the last one, and I don't think it, we go in one by one, but when we all enter into that glory, that heavenly glory, it will redound unto the glory of God. And when it's all done, God's going to say, I did all of this for me. He is the great I.
Yes, sir.
Ego. That's what I is in the Greek, right? Ego. See, God is not just, God don't have an ego. God is ego.
Yes, sir.
I am. He is the ego that self exists. That's what that says. Ego. God is ego. And he's the only wise, glorious, honorable ego. My ego, I am what? Fallen.
Oh, yeah.
Depraved.
Yes, sir.
Sinful. Father, we pray that as we continue here together and eat together, that we may find fellowship with one another in the person of thy Son. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.